This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
In the book of James, James speaking to the people, tell us, to the believers, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." And Peter goes on to say that the trial of your faith being much more precious than silver and gold. And he says, James says, it's an incredible joy. Count it all joy when you get into these conflicts of soul and mind. Unexplained conflicts. You've heard us speak on these verses of Scripture many, many times, and I'm not necessarily going to just try to resurrect those thoughts that we've shared with you before, but to tell you this, that it is imperative. What I have learned in these conferences and come back with an assurance in my soul, it is absolutely imperative that the Holy Ghost lead us and take us into times of conflict. I am convinced. I am totally convinced. To increase our faith for the days that are coming, it's an imperative that I know in my soul today as we sit here in this congregation and I know the voice of the Holy Spirit differently. It is imperative that you and I are taken into conflicts, sudden, momentary, great, small, on the job, in our homes, but conflicts nonetheless, and it's God. It's the Holy Spirit. Unless He take you into the conflict and cause you to be bewildered, smitten, unless He take you into a conflict of soul that you may even stand before Him and say, "God, have I sinned?" It's recently we entered into a fierce battle of the soul. And we corrected our hearts. We stood in the presence of God, my wife and I, and we checked our lives. We said, "God, are we being punished? Is this some kind of punishment?" We checked our lives. "Lord, have we sinned? Have we erred somewhere?" And as we heard this morning, we heard the sweet voice of Jesus speak to our hearts and say, "I have got to rid you of pockets and areas of unbelief. And the only way I know how to get to that unbelief is to bring you into conflict." To bring you right into a conflict of soul. He has got to do it. I am convinced. And now, possibly, I can't say I'm there, because no conflict, as Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, is a joyous occasion. But I am perhaps more persuaded than ever to go with God into the conflict than I've ever been in my life. I can't explain it to you. It's just a working of the Holy Spirit that I know that He wants to enlarge my faith, your faith, our faith together for the days that are coming upon the face of the earth. We have loved ones today that we understand, we see that they want Jesus in the world. It's a strange dichotomy, but we're facing a generation of people who don't just want Jesus, but they want Jesus in the world. It's a conflict. And God is going after that with everything that I understand the Scriptures to speak to us, is that He's going to take us into these areas of conflict to rid us of the unbelief. Now, let me give you a couple of promises. As I was going through the Scriptures, let me just speak to you about some promises before we even enter into showing you the dynamics of this. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "He shall sit as a refiner and as a purifier of silver." Now, it speaks of a conflict, that there is a fire that the Lord Himself will take us into. There is a conflict, and He will sit. Now, the Holy Spirit spoke this promise into my heart, is that God says He will sit and watch over you. This is the promise of God. As He allows these conflicts to rise up into our soul to rid us of unbelief, it is going to be a fire, beloved. I want to tell you, it is going to be a fire. It'll be a conflict in your soul that will penetrate to the far recesses of your being. But He will watch over you. He will sit and He'll watch. And that's the promise of God, is that He's not going to be far from you. That when the conflict of soul arrives, He's going to be there. And He will be sitting, watching, making sure that exactly the right time He'll bring you forth out of the conflict. Zechariah 13:21 says that those who are refined by the fire, they'll come out with this unshakable faith. This incredible, you won't be moved by what you see in the circumstances taking place round about you. It won't move you. And He says in Zechariah 13:21 that they'll come out, those who are refined by fire, this is the assurance. They come out with the confidence where they say, "The Lord is my God." There comes this incredible assurance that you know that the Lord is my God. You can't get there unless you go through the time of trial. It's coming. And I think it's a safety. Beloved, when you see even family members, as we're going to talk about tonight, drift from the things of God, is it going to shake you? Is it going to shake you when you see trials come upon the face of the earth? Is it going to shake your faith? Or will you be unshakable in your faith when the trials come? I know for me and my family, we have decided in our heart that whatever comes our way, we'll embrace it. We're not going to think it's strange, even though the source might be a strangeness. But we will embrace it as much as I know with joy, because I know He's going to expand continuously in our hearts this incredible faith to trust Him. When everything else seems to be going haywire, when people are dying, when calamity is striking, there is going to be a people who will not be shaken by what they are seeing. At the moment, I don't know if we could withstand it. I don't know whether we could withstand some of the things that are coming if they were to happen today. And this is why I want to share with you tonight, as much as I know how, that God is leading us into this place to sustain us in the times ahead. Now let me read to you another promise from the Scriptures before we get to preaching. In fact, you can get to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians for those who opened their Bible. There you got the right chapter. Chapter 2, verse 16. Listen to this. Paul, writing to the Thessalonica church, he says, now the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. And so the Apostle Paul is saying that God, he's given us incredible consolation. Like I read to you in Malachi, he'll sit as a refiner. He'll be close at hand. The people who come out will know that God is God in their lives. And so Paul writing here, he says, there's this everlasting consolation and good hope. People, when trials come, lose hope. They lose hope that family members will ever be saved. I was walking back from the morning service today, and I said to my wife, we're walking back to the apartment, and I said to her after the service, I am as convinced today that there are people in the congregation today, tonight, and all through the services, that I know that the Holy Spirit has spoken to me, that you have lost hope. You've seen family members go farther and farther and farther and farther away from God. And your hope that you thought that they were so close to giving all to God has now been dashed. And you are actually sinning with hope that's been dashed. People that you love gone so deep into sins that just blow your mind. And actually, you're sinning in unbelief. And that you don't believe that God can really reach down and touch that person's life. And so, beloved, it's these times when we take a look at our family members and we see those round about us drift from God rather than get closer to God, that is going to shake us. There's going to be people, I was talking to one person, and I just said to them, I said, "What? How will you respond? How will you react if your child who's serving God today just drifts away and goes farther and farther away from God? How will it affect you? Will it break you down and what a failure you might have been and break down and say, oh God, what did we do wrong? How did we fail you? Am I being punished for some kind of a sin?" But see, beloved, I don't believe that's what God is saying. I think he's saying today that I need to take you into times of conflict to root out those unbelief, so that when the unbelievable begins to take place and you see those things going on and people drifting so far, that you are not shaken in your faith that our God is able to retrieve and to reach and to touch and to rescue out of the fire. It's imperative that there be a people who will stand in faith in these days. It's imperative. I think the days are running shorter and shorter for us before we see things taking place that's beyond comprehension. There's this witness in my spirit, an urgency to say, God, take me into any kind of conflict if you want to expand and root out any forms of unbelief so that I can stand in the time of trial and believe you. No matter what the senses are saying, no matter what the eyes are seeing, I will stand and believe God no matter what. That's where I want to be. And so, I think of these things where he goes on to say, so comfort your hearts. He says here in verse 16, everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. So comfort your hearts and establish you. Now this is where I think that God wants to do in our hearts and lives in this generation, is establish us. Put us on a solid foundation, establish you in every good word. Now, beloved, I've stopped short of this verse in Thessalonians Because it's so easy to talk the talk. God wants to establish us in a real faith that is not going to be disturbed by what we see and what we perceive going on. And so he says that God says, this is the comfort that I'm going to bring to your hearts in these times of trials that I have to bring you into. There's an everlasting consolation. God is going to love. He loves you. He settles that in 16. I love you. Settle the fact. I love you. An everlasting consolation to hold you and keep you. But there's something I want to do with you. And this is the comfort that you need to bring to your heart. Bring it to your heart. By the power of the Holy Ghost. This is the comfort that I want to put an incredible word in your mouth. But I don't just want you to talk the talk. I don't want you just to be able to say the right things. So he says, I'm going to establish you in every good word and work. In other words, God is going to cause us to be able to walk the walk. He's got my script. I'm sure you've got it. So this is what I believe that he's doing. It's going to be a people who are going to be able to stand. To believe God in times of hell, when trials are so overwhelming, there won't be a people who'll walk by and give you a high five, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, healed and walking in the power of Jesus. We know those, we thank God that there are those people who do that. But I've also seen those people who give me high fives crumble when something goes wrong and they have no ability to stand. See, God says, this is what I'm going to establish you in. A faith? Yeah, there'll be a sure word in your heart. Oh, it'll be there. Isaiah speaks about that you're going to have a sure word as Christ had a sure word in his day and spoke it. So that word that will also reside in you, but he's going to cause you to walk the walk in these last days. You see, when you go through the trial and the difficulties, you become a stability to somebody else. When we were in Israel in this Arab congregation, there was, unbeknown to us, I didn't know anything, but there was an Arab pastor who had been severely wounded about 5 years prior. So badly wounded in his particular congregation and the things split and people spoke against him and his family and his wife. And he left the ministry. Just left the ministry and was gone. Had not stepped back into a church service in 5 years. Just stepped out and said, enough is enough. I'm not going ahead with God. And for 5 years, he has not put one toe into any kind of a service. And so, here we are in this little Arab congregation, unbeknown to us. We don't know anybody who's there. Just that they are incredibly sweet people because they love Jesus. And so we begin to share. I begin to share some of the conflicts of soul that God had taken us through. And some of the deep woundings that we had endured. But through it, God brought us into a large place. And as we began to share the confidence of faith that God will not leave us alone. Here is this man in the back of this congregation with his wife. And he was, and part of the problem wasn't just that his church had broken down and there were these these things coming against him, but there was abuse in his relationship with his wife. And so God just began to touch these things. And at the end of the service, here is a man who, because of what God has done in somebody else, and he's hearing it, that someone else can go through deep waters like he has been through himself, and yet God has remained absolutely faithful. And beloved, this man stood up and for the first time in 5 years was touched by the power of Almighty God and recommitted his life to going back to serving God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But this is what God wants to do for you and your family. I think of in Ireland that a lady, just tears streaming down her face, just weeping and weeping, gets us on the street as we're heading out, walking into the little town for lunch. And here is this lady, just eyes are just streaming with tears, broken hearted, but given hope. Her two children, the two older children, so far gone from God that her heart was breaking without any hope, until she began to see that through the conflict, through what God has done in somebody else, that God would not let her down, that there would be a faith in her heart for her family. But it takes, beloved, a conflict to get to those unbelief in our hearts. And she just thanked us and said, "Oh, I thank God for what you did and shared with us, and that God will bring her family through." Record numbers of families are turning away from God. This is what I'm seeing. This is what the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart. You are going to need faith. There is satanic seductions that are taking place in the world today that is so unbelievable. And it's going to take incredible faith. But God gives us some amazing promises. I think of Moses when he is facing Pharaoh face to face. And this is the epitome of hell itself. But here is Pharaoh just rising up against this man called Moses. But Moses gets this promise from God. He says, God has spoken to him and said, everybody is leaving. Everybody's going. There's not going to be one single hoof left in Egypt. Our old people are leaving. Our young people are leaving. Our wives are leaving. Our husbands are leaving. Nobody is staying behind. Beloved, it takes a conflict of soul to come to that assurance of faith. It's wonderful to preach that God is not going to leave any of our family members behind. But do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe that when you see them walking away, that God will in fact reach to them? I think of Acts chapter 16, verse 31, the Apostle Paul speaking to that Philippian jailer. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy whole house. This is a promise from God that he will keep every single family member. He's going to do it. So when we see them drifting, can we stand? That's why the conflict today is so imperative, so important, that God takes us into these battles where for whatever reason there's the struggle goes on in the mind that you can, where all hell seems to be breaking loose against you, but you come through it. And when you come through to the other side, you understand that God was watching over you all the way. So that in a time of real tragedy, there are men and women of God who are going to stand in this last hour and guide those who need direction, because God has enlarged your heart and steadied you in faith. John chapter 17, verse 12. All those that thou gavest to me, I have kept. And none of them is lost. Do you believe that? Well, we say we do believe it. I believe it when all my children are serving God. I certainly had a hard time when my son wasn't serving God. But God is bringing us to this place of believing Him. Let me give you an illustration tonight. I want us to turn to 2 Kings chapter 21. Let me give you a quick illustration tonight out of the book of Kings. What happens when, how do you respond when you see family members? I think of people that we know in this congregation who have brothers and sisters who walked away from family values and have become homosexual. Let me ask you a question. Can God rescue them? Can God reach into that homosexual lifestyle and reach and bring them out of that and change their lives? Can we believe that? How about the person who is on drugs and on cocaine and can't get free? And we know that heroin, they've got this other dope on given out just to get them off heroin, which is just as bad. Can we believe that these people who buy this coke and this crack and this heroin, can we believe that God can reach in and take them out of this? You see, these are the things that God, I believe, is asking for New York City. That we need to believe that the worst of the worst of the worst, that our God can reach in and take a hold of their lives. And unless we go there, we're going to continuously see maybe a wonderful thing taking place, but never the kind of work that God wants to do in the city. I am constrained in my spirit tonight to say, God, I have not always believed that you can do this. I have not always believed that you want to take this city. I've looked over it and have been awestruck at the millions of people that reside here and come to work here and feeling so helpless to reach out and see these people get changed. It seems like something far beyond, but I thank God that these last few weeks, God has been doing something different in my heart and in my life. I thank God for it. I thank God for the conflicts, that even after marvelous conferences, that there would be a battle in the mind that is from hell itself, but God bringing us through and saying, I'm just reaching in and taking out some other area of unbelief. Because you're coming back into a city where people are desperate, needing God. 20 people in the last few months in New Jersey. New Jersey right now is reeling at the fact that 20 youths in the past few months have been killed. They're saying on the news that minor altercations that maybe resulted in an argument or a punch on the nose and a bloodied nose are now being resolved with a gun. And we seem to be so powerless. But God wants to reach in and reach people even to the lowest depth. I think of this chapter 21, and you go back and read it. In chapter 21 of 2 Kings, Manasseh is the worst king outside of Ahab. He is the worst king that Judah ever had. This man is wicked from top to bottom. Hezekiah is his daddy. Hezekiah is spared. God touches his life, but compromise leads this kid, Manasseh, who becomes a king at 12, to become one of the most wicked individuals that God says because of the sins of Manasseh, both in Jeremiah, he says it in Isaiah, he also says it in Kings, he says because of the sins of this man, because he is so rotten, so bad, Baal worship. He goes into the house of God where God says, I've put my name. And he sets up idols in the very house of God. He goes to witchcraft, enchantments, familiar spirits, wickedness. He uses seduction. This man is incredibly evil. Puts children through the fire. Shed innocent blood until he filled Jerusalem from one end to the other. And beside his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing so, that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Kings ends up that he dies. That's Kings. Wicked, wicked individual. A king. Supposed to display the life of God, but incredibly wicked. But that's not the end of the story. That's not the end. Turn with me to Chronicles. Go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 33. It says, and you know, beloved, I had a hard time reading this, rejoicing in one, but having a very difficult time. I'm not sure I understand all the complications and meanings of all of this. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, it continues the story of this wicked man called Manasseh. God speaks to him in verse 10. He wouldn't listen. So God brings an enemy against him. The captains of Assyria come down. And the Bible says that among the thorns, and if you just look it up in the original language, there's several different thoughts, but one of the thoughts that brings up, which I think is reasonably credible, is that they stuck a ring in his nose, a thorn, a hook in his nose. And these kings, or these captains, took him into Babylon. Bound with fetters. And we look at this and we say, well, it's justified. This man is so wicked. And we see people with a ring in their nose and the devil seems to just twist their heads any which way. It just seems like the devil has got his hold on lives of family and people and just can twist them and turn them. And here is this Manasseh who goes down into Babylon. But in verse 12 it says, and when he was in affliction, the word affliction means to be taunted by the devil or by the enemy. I said devil, it's the enemy. Taunted, ridiculed, mocked. So here he is in this place in Babylon. In affliction. This man is so incredibly wicked. I honestly, when I was reading this, I had no faith for this man. I thought, good. You deserve to go to Babylon. Good. It was amazing how the moment I uttered that out, and God says, and what about you? You're not that smart either. But in affliction, in the time of affliction, he besought the Lord his God, humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and verse 13, prayed. Beloved, those family members that you're grieving about, God wants you to stand in faith. Because God knows that in the time of their deep affliction, He knows how when a soul is so torn at the end of the rope, they cry to God. And the most amazing grace and mercy that I see in the scriptures, he prayed, and the Bible says God was entreated of him. I don't understand why it is that God loves the cry of the afflicted soul. There's something in the heart of God that when we are in the midst of affliction, that he hears. And the Bible says that God, in his grace and mercy, brought him out again and established him back in Jerusalem. Unheard of. He gets back to Jerusalem. And then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Beloved, you can read verse 14 and 15 and 16, and you begin to see that this man goes back, he rebuilds the wall, he goes into the strange place, into the temple, and he removes all the strange gods, and then he begins and he reestablishes and repairs the altar. You wouldn't have believed it. But God is able to reach out and lay hold of those that have strayed from the very depth. The man who is so bound. We get email after email after email of men writing and saying, I am so incredibly bound to pornography. People are so caught. And sometimes I don't have the faith for them. But I want to tell you tonight, my God, when he hears the cry of an afflicted person in the very depths of degradation, it isn't going to be a 10-step program to get them out. It isn't going to be some kind of ideology to change their mind from being a homosexual to being straight. It isn't going to take government-supplied dope to get them off heroin, only to get them addicted to something else. It is going to take a cry of a person in times of affliction, that when they cry, that God will hear out of heaven, and these same people that we gave up on will return and reestablish the walls and will clean out the temple, and God by the Spirit will renew their hearts and their lives. In one moment of time, he will clean up the temple and set them ablaze and on fire, and they will restore the altar, and the worship will come out of these people will be absolutely incredible. We are going to need that kind of a faith in our day to believe God for those that go astray. You're going to need it. I know it. I know it with every ounce that is within me. God is calling us as a church. Embrace the trial today, the conflict that you might be going through. Because your life is going to affect somebody else. And in the depth of degradation, you'll have a word for them. And they'll rise by the power of the Spirit, rebuild the walls, be cleansed in a moment of time, and worship God. And you'll be amazed. Let's give God thanks tonight. Hallelujah. I have no thought of an altar call tonight. I'm sure if I open it up to you and said, is this the kind of faith that you want? This is the life that you want. I think we'll be full to capacity to the frontier. But my altar call is going to be simply this tonight. If you have a loved one that is so far gone, and you know that you've been battling unbelief in your heart, and you've been saying, God, I don't think you can bring them back. I don't think you can change them. I want you to come to this altar tonight. And we are going to believe God for your family, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Lord Jesus, I've just shared what you've put on my heart. You're calling us to a life of faith. You're calling us to believe you. You're asking us to go the extra mile for the days that come are going to be so unbelievable. But there's going to be an unbelievable group of people standing. Tonight we begin. This morning we heard it. I know Pastor Patrick spoke it again this afternoon because you speak the same thing. Tonight, I ask that the conflict we might be going through right now might be indeed you stretching us to believe you for somebody else. Do this work tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, we're going to call those family members home. We're going to call them home tonight. By faith, we're going to call them home. By faith, we're going to believe you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. God's spoken to your heart. You come to this altar. We'll pray with you tonight. In Jesus' name. Isaiah says, "For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children." Again, Isaiah says, "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders." Beloved, God is bringing our family home. Hallelujah. God is going to bring our family home. The conflict you're going through is simply for you to believe Him tonight. Raise your hands with me, beloved. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight that you are leading my life, this momentary trial that I am in, is you expanding my faith to trust you. No matter what I see with my eyes or what circumstances come against me, they will not change my faith in you. You've given us a promise, and we stand, and we say to unbelief, begone out of my life. I believe Jesus Christ, and my God will fight every enemy of my soul, and He will save my family in Jesus' name. Amen. Give Him thanks. Lord Jesus, tonight I thank you that you are reaching even now by your Spirit into the dark corners of New York City. There are children, now men and women, on drugs, in homosexuality, who are bound by hell itself. And Lord, these are people who have known the gospel. These are people who have had prayer made to heaven on their behalf. Now I'm asking you, Lord, in Jesus' name, do that miracle. You did it for Manasseh, a wicked king. And in their affliction, when they are afflicted and depressed in their sin, God, speak to them tonight. Speak to them by the power of your Holy Ghost. God, call them out of that sin right now. Lord, we speak to New York City and to all the dark places. We call back our children in the name of Jesus. And we cry out and we say, God, break the power of the enemy. Break the bondage, God. Cause in our children. Cause in those bound. Cause in them a cry unto you. You will not turn away from the cry of the afflicted. Tonight, God, we repent for our unbelief. We cry out to God and say, God, we have failed to believe you. But this night I thank you, my God, that you've given a cry. And we begin tonight from the north and the south, the east and the west, all over Manhattan and the boroughs, all around this city and all of our visitors that are here, that God, you are calling our children back. And we lift up a cry in faith tonight. The enemy will not have them. That hell will release them tonight. In the name of Jesus. Hell released our children tonight. In Jesus' name. God, you will contend with all of our enemies. Now cause a faith in our heart to rise up, Lord. Bring us through the trial with a confidence that our God is God over all the earth. In Jesus' name. Now give Him thanks one more time, beloved. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 We mean business tonight. God, we mean business tonight. We mean business. Give us revival. Give us revival. Revival. God, give us revival in this city. Give it to us. We ask you. We ask you. We ask you for the city. We ask you tonight. Beloved, raise your hand. Ask God for the city tonight. Ask Him for it. God, we ask you. We ask you for the millions in New York City. We ask you tonight, give them to us. Give them to us. Increase our faith, my God, I pray. In the name of Jesus, we repent of unbelief. We cry out, Lord, we cry out tonight. Forgive us. Forgive us for our unbelief. Forgive us. Oh, God, forgive us. Tonight we come back. We say, God, give us a faith. Give us a faith beyond our measure. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
This is the conclusion of the message.